Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU. On this program, we sit down with creative leaders and artistic innovators in our city. With the holiday season in full swing, today's episode is about the art of giving, locally. We're sitting down with Andrea Zalumis, Eric Linares, and Diorin Thornton, young creative entrepreneurs and the members of the team behind the Eastside Market. And later, you'll hear from Mike Brock, co-owner of White Elephant. Later on, we'll hear a segment, David and Art with David Smith. First up, we have Andreas, Eric, and Diorin, a few of the organizers behind the Eastside Market. This market is an artisan vendor market that happens monthly at Brotherwell Brewing. Thank you guys for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
Hey, how are y'all?
Hello.
So first of all, since we have three of you guys here, can you guys introduce yourself and say how you guys became, residents of Waco?
My name is Diorin Thornton, and I actually was born and raised in Waco, in the city of Waco. I went to Conley High School. I am now 23 years of age, and I am a young entrepreneur.
All right. My name is Eric, and I'm actually not a original born, citizen of Waco, but I moved here about 8.5 years ago to go to school here. But ever since, I just made it my home.
Nice. My name is Andreas. I moved to Waco about 2 years ago. I have a business here in Waco, and it's now my home.
Yeah, so you all have established roots here in the time that you guys have been here.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
So yep. How did you guys meet each other and become this team?
It kind of revolves around photography more than anything.
Yeah.
The first time I met Diorin was through his friend Reggie. We were just a photo shoot and whatnot, doing a kind of photography, videography, and then I heard he had a store opening up and I went and checked it out. That's the first time I met him. And then Andreas I met through basically the same way, doing photography and getting connected through the business.
Yeah, I think the first time I actually connected with Eric, it was at my coffee cart, and we got to talking. Mm-hmm. And we realized we were kind of in the same field of things that we wanted to do. And then through Eric, he told me about D, and then we connected just on a separate note, kind of encountered each other.
So you all have been involved in the art scene and the creative scene in Waco, and that's how you guys met each other.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, definitely.
So since the time that you guys have been here and started establishing roots and get connected within the creative community, how have you seen a change, or have you seen a change in Waco's creative culture?
I feel like, it's been a definite change in what's been happening.
I think even just for me in the past, year, I would say it's there's a lot more to do, there's a lot more to see, there's a lot more people just expressing themselves differently in town, and a lot more opportunities, I think, are just coming about. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, much more people are just starting to do their own thing. I think back in the past, it was just kind of you look to others to see what they were doing, and now it's kind of you have the liberty to do your own and really experiment and see what was happening.
Yeah. You see the growth happening for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And opportunities.
So one of those opportunities, you guys took it upon yourselves to start the Eastside Market. Mm-hmm. So can you guys give some background on what the Eastside Market is and how this idea came from, a conversation between friends into this whole thing?
You always look to other cities and see what they're doing. Like, you look to Austin and Dallas and Houston, and you see what's happening. And one of the things that I always saw in Houston was vintage flea markets and
things
like that.
Eric would always go to Houston and then just send me pictures and just be like, man, this is dope. Like, why isn't this happening in Waco? Where can you find other stuff like this?
Yeah, and Diorin, definitely, he's been to them and everything. And just seeing that there are people who do vintage, who do things creatively, and then, but seeing that there's not an outlet for it, we just really were sitting at the pub one day and just kind of had the name on a piece of paper and just trying to figure out, and we was like, let's just go ahead and start it,
We started asking, we did a little survey in the pub, and just to see what people thought about the name, and actually got a good amount of interest in it. So we literally just that day kept going with it. And
that was only a month and a half before the first Eastside Market. It was literally that how quickly it came around.
So the Eastside Market is in East Waco, right? Mm-hmm. And with most of the cultural and arts activities happening in downtown, why did you think it was important to start the market and host it in East Waco?
East Waco is really known for like being one of the best sides of Waco back in the day. So Elm Street was lit back in the day, like in my grandpa's days, like when they was playing like saxophones and stuff, you know. So I feel like the East Side would have been, it's in about 2 years, the East Side is going to be back to what it used to be. And so like putting the East Side on there was really giving us a head start. So
I definitely see that point too. And I mean, for me coming from not being from Waco and not understanding the whole history behind it, entrepreneurially, that's just an opportunity. There's a lot of growth happening downtown, and eventually it's going to get to that side of town. There, it already is. And for us to be able to be people to try to bring, you know, people across the bridge and just to start bringing that traffic over there is going to be awesome. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what we try to push.
So you guys host this event monthly at Brotherwell Brewing. How did that partnership between the market and that small business kind of form?
We just ask.
Really? Yeah. And they were just like,
we were
yeah.
like, we need a space. And they're like,
yeah, yeah. I had done a lot of events through my business, Quetzalco Tacos. We had done a lot of pop-ups with Brotherwell and kind of have food and beer and everything. And I developed a nice little friendship with them. And then we just needed a space. And, you know, going back to what East Side and what, you know, East Waco and all the beauty of its heyday, and then just seeing wanting to tie into that, it was just the perfect space that already had everything built out to allow us to just get out there.
So looking back on the sense of community that they had when East Waco was really thriving, how do you feel that the East Side Market kind of builds that unity in the community now?
There's been a lot of different people that have come out for it. And I've heard from numerous people that do attend events or cater events and just say, like, this is actually a pretty unique, you know, diverse group of people coming together, and the energy around there is just is just different, you know. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just cool. It's cool to see. Mm-hmm. It's something that I think people want and have been trying to do, and I think it's actually touching on that now.
Yeah, and the community aspect of it was really important to us in the beginning. It was creating something that individuals who did not have access or did not have either the resources or the exposure, really, to do something big or to do something cool, to just coalesce all of those individuals and do something for them. And so seeing how a lot of these people have come out and created their own businesses, their own concepts from the community, and then just seeing how that impacts and just gives back to that community.
It's like we were all there. I mean, we're still there. We're just wanting an opportunity. And for us, we're creating that opportunity, you know what I mean? And trying to be the platform for anyone that wants to come out there and showcase their work. And obviously, we hope that it's great. And Yeah.
So how many vendors and artists do you guys have on average?
So our first East Side Market, we had around 20. I think it was around 19, 20 vendors. And then we've just steadily grown. The last one we had was around 40 vendors.
Yeah.
And so including food trucks and small artists and just anything as small as like a small table setup, you know. Mm-hmm. So we've really seen a lot of vendors wanting to come out and be a part of it.
So what kind of businesses are represented at this event?
A lot. I mean, it varies from artists that have prints, people that do pottery. You have vintage vendors, and that's people that go thrifting, find really dope clothes, and resell them. You have food vendors. There's ice cream. There's burgers. Mm-hmm. People that do earrings, you know. So I think it just varies, but it's more into the artist field, though. For sure, people that like to create.
What has been the reception from these vendors and artists on the event? Like, are they so happy that there's something like this, or is this just like another event they're adding in their rotation to get their name out?
I feel like a lot of them have definitely come up to us and seen that it's just a different vibe. You know, one of the things we wanted to make sure with our market was that it had a different feeling than any of the other things that were going on around town. Yeah. And hearing that from the individual vendors and seeing how they've really had success in it, that just, you know, makes us happy and makes us want to keep on doing it, things bigger and better.
Yeah, to hear that people sell out of the stuff that they make is like pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, That's dope.
So with the holiday season coming in full swing and tomorrow being Small Business Saturday,
mm-hmm.
So what do you guys want local shoppers to keep in mind when they're browsing, whether it be local shops or the market that you guys have coming up on December 15th?
You know, local shopping is, like, so important because, you know, we talk about on and on about how the economies of, you know, your community and how that, you know, that goes up and down. And it's one of the main things to support and to help the individual people and the individual stories and businesses in Waco is to just directly shop from them and to really help them and uplift them through that, your patronage. And so anytime we have any of our vendors out here, we want to, you know, expose them to a community that will support the local, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, it's just you're supporting someone's dream, somebody's ambition, somebody's, you know, talent. But you don't even have to buy. Sometimes it's just appreciating it and, like, giving it attention.
So before we wrap it up, I want to talk a little bit about you guys as creative entrepreneurs yourselves. Yeah. Can you guys share what ventures you guys have and how you're plugged into this creative community?
Too many, I feel like. not enough.
I'm the vintage guy. So everybody knows me as, like, the fashion guru or whatever. So, sure. That's how I'm tied in with the city.
This guy, there's never a day where he's, like, just regular.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Like he's always extra, is what he's saying. Now, me, like I said, I got started with food. So I have a home style taqueria, you know, concept that I've been doing. And just through that, you got connected with the East Side and then starting to do, like, events. And I did a Dia de los Muertos event back in November.
Yeah.
And then just...
Which was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us on here, too. Yeah. But just that and music and photography and just all these different concepts that turn into businesses. And so it's really interesting and awesome to be in a space that allows that.
Photographer, aspiring photographer. I want to eventually sell prints, make money that way. I want to make have different avenues of money, coffee business. Yeah. In town and the East Side Market events. Honestly, just kind of want to be plugged into Waco and kind of be a part of its growth.
Yeah, so with that being said, let's look forward into the future. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys envision the Waco arts and cultural and creative scene?
I feel like it'll be something people hear about in Texas. You know, people look to it for something to do and for something to see, for something new to experience. You know, it's not just going to be those four cities that you always hear about in Texas. It's going to be, we're going to be up there.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to put a cap on it, but I think it could have potential to just have a different, like, feel, a different culture, different. Yeah.
They're going to be very diverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot to do, a lot to see, just different. And it's just about how we do that moving forward now to allow all those things to be a part of it.
Like I said, we're in the position right now where everyone who's doing something, they're shaping what Waco is to become. You know, it's on us to make sure we incorporate what we want to see in the community and in the vision.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for stopping by and sharing about the East Side Market.
For sure. Thank you guys for having us.
Check out the next East Side Market December 15th at Brotherwell Brewing from noon to 5 p.m. All the details of this event and the links to their individual businesses will be on creativewaco.org/blog. Here's this week's edition of David and Art with David Smith.
A couple of years ago, I shocked some people with the way I answered one of those questions designed to reveal how well someone knows you. If you could do anything else other than what your job is, what would you do? People who knew me thought that I would say I wanted to write all the time instead of teach, while others guessed that I'd want to just be a teacher and talk to people about history. Those are flattering assumptions to have made about you, I think, and they do reveal a good bit of knowledge about what makes me tick. But what I said that apparently surprised people was that I would want to be a full-time performing musician. Maybe they thought I had all that out of my system. Years ago, I played in a group in Austin, and I vividly remember all the work it took to lug equipment in and out of venues, sometimes up and down stairs. I recall one period of a few days during which we played in Lubbock, drove back that night to Austin, set up the next morning in a club on 6th Street, played there two nights in a row, and then packed up and drove to Corpus Christi for another two nights of work. The remuneration, at least in a town like Austin with so many musicians, was hardly commensurate with the labor involved. So why do it? Art, at its root, is profoundly communicative, and experiencing it live is a crucial component of that communication. It's often difficult, however, to explain the superiority of live performance over recordings to those who are skeptical. It clearly involves more work and expense to attend performances, but the irreplaceable element in live music and theater is that both artist and viewer are mutually witnessing something unique that wasn't there a moment ago and that will no longer exist once the echo dies away. Going to see a painting is obviously a little different, but the similarity is that you're standing before a work of art that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world and that has come to you from the past, sometime across centuries. If you're standing in front of Starry Night at the MoMA in New York, you're experiencing the actual canvas Van Gogh held, thought about, and painted on. His eyes saw this scene come into existence and looked at it and pondered its worth just like you are now. This isn't a copy or a photograph. This is the one and only real thing. For the first time in decades, I'm again part of a group that's playing live on Friday and Saturday nights, and the same powerful feeling still electrifies the room. Art's power is that it draws together creator and witness in something like a momentary communion. You and a painter who's been dead for over 100 years, or you and a bass player up on a cramped stage at the front of a small bar. Nothing else does this. Nothing else can.
On this episode is Mike Brock, co-owner of White Elephant. This local shop sells curated artisans' goods created by local, statewide, and artists across the nation. Hey Mike, thank you for joining us today.
Hey Kennedy, thanks for having us.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you a Waco native, or are you a recent transplant to Waco?
Well, I'm from Waco now, okay. I can say. I transplanted here this year, actually in March. So previously I was from Wisconsin and originally from Indiana. So we moved down here to open up this awesome, exciting retail concept in March.
Oh, so you guys moved in 2019.
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing. So what brought you from Indiana to Waco?
So we fell in love with Texas when we came down here on vacation last year with a bunch of family and friends, and we actually took a tour of the eastern side of Texas and made Waco one of our stops as well, just because of the exciting things that are happening here. And it was along the way from our end stop in Dallas, and totally fell in love with Texas and knew that we wanted to move here. So ironically, it was one of those things where we actually picked ourselves up and moved ourselves literally from Wisconsin to Texas to go after a dream.
Wow.
And we knew that Texas was going to be a spot, and we ended up in Waco, especially with the opportunities that we have for the type of concept that we wanted to do.
Right. So did you, when you were moving to Waco, did you know that you were going to open White Elephant, or was it, did it just happen organically?
Yeah, so it's kind of organic. What happened was we chose Waco as the middle ground because we were actually looking at concepts both here locally in Waco, Dallas, and Austin. And we saw that Waco had the immediate need for what we wanted to do. My co-owner and partner, Andrew, he has a background in social work.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided was that we wanted to give back and really focus on the community. And one great way by doing that is with artists and makers, and, you know, giving back to people who are going after creative dreams individually, people who are younger, people who are older that, you know, wanted to kind of really go after something that they have had in their mind and they were able to finally put it forth. And when we saw that, when we landed here and we were looking at all three areas, we saw that Waco had that immediate need for something like this. And that's where White Elephant was kind of born. But White Elephant, honestly, was a concept that I had in my mind since I was a young kid. So
that's awesome. So do you have an interest in the arts, or what kind of spurred that inspiration for White Elephant to be an arts kind of based business?
So I was more of a patron of the arts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty creative. I've worked in retail for 20 years, but And I have like different types of merchandising skill, that type of thing. But I, when I always traveled, Andrew and I both did, we always wanted to make sure that we supported locally first. So we always went to the galleries and to these artist studios and really wanted to take a piece back home with us then. So when we came here to Waco and we saw the emerging art scene that was happening here, we knew that this is something that was necessary. And, you know, especially with the guys from Eastside Market that we were on previously, mm-hmm. and then also all the other artists, galleries, events such as yourself and organizations, we knew that it was going to be a great complement for that.
That's awesome. So can you give some insight on how you picked the name White Elephant? I know it's a game where I think a group of friends come together and they're just a bunch of different gifts. And
right.
Someone might get some random gift. So how does that play into, you know, your business?
You're well. Right. So like White Elephant is a play on a white elephant gift exchange for the holiday. So ironically, you have us on during this mm-hmm. time, which I love. But we saw that White Elephant, it was really kind of the curiosity, and you never know what you're going to find when you come in. So our thing with White Elephant is that it rotates on a regular. We bring in artisans seasonally. We represent about 75 different artisans and makers. And in addition, with our new our secondary concept trunk show, it helps small business owners have frontage downtown Waco, which focuses on vintage and repurposed furniture, art accessories, home decor, gifts, that type of thing. But it all really focuses on that sense of community. But to your point, White Elephant is really that play of you never really know what you're going to find. It could be something unique, interesting, or something extravagant.
So with a quick timeline of you guys moving here in March and opening your business in May?
Correct.
How has your business done? How's been the public reception of, you know, the White Elephant?
It's been great. You know, the one thing that I really have been impressed with is that we have a really great following of local versus tourism, which we love tourists. And, you know, the thing is that tourists need something that's small and portable. So it's really nice that we offer art in all capacities, either items that are handmade by makers, small that they could carry, mm-hmm. versus the larger pieces. But our local demographic is absolutely fantastic. Like, and we gain new people every day. And actually, we jumped across the street while we moved to a larger space. So that way we could add more artisans and also expand into the trunk show concept. But we've been really happy with what has been able to been accomplished.
So like you mentioned, with the White Elephant concept, people can walk in not knowing what they're going to get and, you know, walk out with a very diverse collection of all the things that they find in your store. How do you guys curate what you sell?
So great question. You know, the one thing that we really do is kind of make a vision of the seasonal concept. So we normally kind of categorize it by maybe a type of theme, which obviously this theme for holiday is gift giving inside of our shop. But we also feature, you know, items from the trunk show as well. So it's very interesting because a lot of people don't know what they're going to expect when they come into the shop. And even with launching this new trunk show concept, it has, you know, grown both sides exponentially. So, you know, people that may be coming in looking for furniture will also stumble into finding a really great piece of artwork, right, and vice versa.
That's awesome. So I know you guys pop up at the Eastside Market and pop up at Celebration. How has that impacted your business? And have you noticed more foot traffic or what?
We have. Yeah, and it's funny because Fiona and I have talked about that from Creative mm-hmm. Waco. It's interesting, the soft benefits that we have. And a lot of times we do the pop-up events so that way we can get to the community when maybe they can't get to their our shop at that time frame, because, you know, we're open pretty much normal hours. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one thing that we've learned is that we're able to cater and curate our pop-up shops to the events. So what we bring to Eastside Market could be something completely different to that we brought to an event outside of the silos. But the one thing that we've learned is that a lot of people appreciate and get to know the different artists and makers that we have, right, and can see that, you know, we bring in a really diverse mix of product.
Yeah. So how have you connected with artists to have such a diverse collection in your shop?
So it's interesting. When we first moved here, we were really just getting to know and network with everyone. So it really launched with social media. So Facebook and Instagram both were kind of our friends, and we really dug in a little bit and found a really good artisan community that way. And then it just organically grew from there, from our other artists that came in, patrons that who shop with us, and then also with our people that we kind of network with. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you know, this person would be really good. This person does this type of art. Are you looking for this type of thing? So it's just really organic. But I think the thing about Waco that makes things so unique is that everyone is here. They want to help.
Right.
And, you know, the vibe is very different from any other community that I've been with that, you know, especially in entrepreneurship and especially with the art community, they all want to help each other and they all want to make sure rising tides raise all boats.
Yeah. So that's awesome that you bring up the vibe of Waco. Can you give me like three adjectives of how you view our culture and our arts community?
So it's diverse, completely diverse. That's why we, you know, part of the reason why we chose here because of North and East Waco. It's unexpected just because I think the, especially for people walking into Waco, they don't expect the artist community that's really burgeoning.
Yeah.
Or building. Mm-hmm. Evolutionary would be another one. The evolution, even in just the past year that we've
definitely
been here,
yeah,
has, you know, grown. But a lot of artists are now feeling more comfortable to come out and share their type of medium or craft.
So with tomorrow being Small Business Saturday, will you guys be open?
Of course.
Do you have any specials or any plans?
We sure do. So Small Business Saturday, we'll actually be doing a holiday market. So we'll be featuring several different artisans in addition to our own artisans as well. We'll be doing kind of an outdoor-indoor pop-up between us and our neighbor Christie's Interiors. We'll be doing a make-and-take ornament exchange as well for adults and kids,
wow,
which will be really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll have different specials and also, of course, refreshments and then food truck friends there as well.
Oh, yeah. So I see you guys partner with Waco Cha and now Sabor.
Yes.
How did that kind of come to be?
Again, it was really a connection through a comment on diversity and community on social media. And we had a really great organic conversation and we all realized that we were all in the same thing together. So actually, there's a really small network of community that we have with that group and several other individuals that we really focus on community over competition. And really, we all have the same vision that we want to see each other thrive and we want to see community built, not only through individuals, but also diversity. And it's been fantastic.
So before we wrap it up with holiday season coming and gift giving season on our front door.
Right.
What would you like Waco's local shoppers to keep in mind as they get their gifts for the holiday season?
So I think it's small, or really shop small and shop local, especially with what we do. It's helping individuals support their side hustle to become their full-time hustle or their true dream come true. So when you buy from an individual at our space, you're really helping support their vision come to life. And take a piece of that person with you to share with your loved ones. So if you can do that, you know, not only in our space, but also through our partners, that would be truly incredible.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Mike, for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. For more stories on the arts in our city, catch the next episode on Friday, December 27th. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.